Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
I'm Alfie Bull and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Friday the 28th. Listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live and 93.2. Yeah, just need to kind of just slow it down a little bit. And, you know, just need to apologise for the last couple of weeks if people have been listening out there. We've had some, let's just say that we've had some kind of like issues, some technical issues, but hopefully they'll be sorted out. So you're listening to Sweet, and I'm going to be talking sport. I've had a call from CV on the way. You could say it's Caribbean time. I need to kind of give him a nudge, really, and also G in that as well, you know, because, like, you have to turn up on time, yeah? Got a few kind of things gonna be going through. Basketball is on the agenda. LA Lakers, believe it or not. And there's a bit of history in the USA NBA League with LeBron James. And we'll be chatting about his son, Bronny, drafted by the Lakers. And it could be a bit of history in the making. 93.2 FM. Don't touch that dial, yeah? Further down the line, going to be talking the Copa America, yeah? So you could say it's a warm-up for the World Cup in a couple of years' time, and Jamaica are in that. I did watch them the other night. Didn't really get excited, to be honest with you, and it was kind of late in the night, so eyelids were closing tentatively, but nevertheless, I think they got cream crackered, basically, you know, or should I say they was cream crackered. Little bit of athleticism in the team, but I think it still needs some kind of like, you know, some kind of like organisation and stuff, you know. Then further down the line again, we're going to be talking about the Euros. How can you not talk about the Euros? It's football again. And as soon as that's done, we're back to the domestic side of the league. Going to be talking about Kovacs, one of the referees. 18 cards he handed out. And we're not talking about a pack of cards neither. 18 cards, including two reds. Trigger happy, yeah? But hear this now. Roberto Rossetti, Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Roberto Rossetti, a little bit of continental twist to that. This referee's actually made history, you know, believe it or not, for the most cards ever given out. And then, are we toasting in? Are the fans toasting England? Throwing their cups, are they sort of like giving Gareth Southgate a bit of a cheering? Faced a lot of criticism. Harry Kane's, you know, defending his corner, quite rightly so. He's got a right to defend, but also pundits have got a right, they're making it a right to, let's just say, to voice their opinions, yeah? And quite rightly so. I mean, any pundit or anybody's got a right to say how discouraged they are, to say how kind of peeved they are, how vexed they are. But, you know, when you watch a game of football, or whether you go and pay through the turnstiles, whether you're an armchair fan, you know, you're not guaranteed entertainment. So if people are going to watch a game of football and expecting to be entertained, I suggest you just turn round where you turn, yeah? But Southgate, well, he's come out, you could say he's come out fighting. Southgate says he understands the narrative that he wants the supporters to stay with the team and back them to the hilt. Would you back England to the hilt? Yeah? Wow, you must be crazy. Okay, so basketball then. For the first time in history, you've got LeBron James's son, Bronny. He is, you know, looking to, you know, be on a level with his pops. And, you know, he's looking to kind of like kill it out there with a bit of basketball. So, it's going to be kind of like an interesting proposition, you could say. Yeah? Now, Bronny is, going to be... Bronny going to be on a different kind of level now. He got drafted by the kind of like NBA. And how that works, yeah? It's like, you know, teams in the National Basketball Association choose players, right? And if they sign players, then that player can't choose or cannot sign for another team, okay? He can't sign for any other team. So that's just a little insight about how the draft works. Now, like I said, LeBron James plays for the LA Lakers, one of the biggest basketball teams in the NBA. And it could be a combination of father and son, you could say, with Bronny lining up alongside his pops, LeBron. So, you know, fans in America and, you know, like I said, all around the world too, there's going to be history made, and I believe this is going to happen anytime soon, yeah? So if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport on Friday the 28th, 90 points. I keep saying 90 point, it's 93. Yeah? So it is now. The US Soccer Federation have condemned online racism abuse. Several of their players have come under this scrutiny. And it's not new in soccer. You know, so don't be surprised out there. It happens all over the world. You know, this online abuse thing. Now, you know, the American Soccer Federation said, this is what they said, yeah? There's no place in the game for such hateful and discriminatory behaviour, okay? These actions are unacceptable, okay? So, guess what? How can you stop that? Yeah? Can you stop online racial abuse? And I'm going to put it to CV and G also when they arrive, yeah? To see what their views, what they've got to say. But such as like what? Well, it was actually in the, again, you know, we're talking about the Copa America Cup, where USA went down 2-1, got defeated by Panama on Thursday, just gone. So, you know, there's no place for it. But for me, it's like the law kind of backs it up. Because like over here, yeah, you can't stop it. And that must be around the globe too, okay? So, you know, why can't you stop it? Well, there's no kind of like, there's no threshold for a criminal offence, yeah? No threshold for it. So then, if there's no threshold for a criminal offence, can't criminalise it, can you? Yeah? But what the beast is saying, listen, maybe, I'm going to say that again, maybe we can record this as a non-crime hate incident, yeah? No criminal offence under it, yeah? So anyway, so we've got a big thing now, because like, under the Crime and Disorder Act, right? And I'm going to say what? It's 1998, Section 66, okay? Can't criminalise it, you know? Can't police it. Well, sorry, in fact, the police are saying, do you know what? We'll do it under hate crime. Now, freedom of speech and all that kind of like allows that to happen. Yeah? So therefore, is it just like a token gesture then? If the kind of like federation are saying, do you know what? I'll tell you what, we're gonna make an announcement. And then our announcement will be that we condemn it. We don't support it. It's hateful. Unacceptable. Okay. Yeah, they can say that all day long. But isn't it about time that people come out of the closet and just stepped it up? Okay. They need to step things up. They need to step it up behind the scenes, because it's like a window. I get it about free speech. If somebody's vexed with somebody, they can kind of rant, they can rave, yeah? But I tell you what, if I left this studio right now, yeah, and I was on the streets and I started racially abusing somebody out there on the road, the police get called, you know that I'm going to get cuffed, innit? I'm going to get cuffed, and I'm probably not going to come out of that cell till probably 11 o'clock tonight, yeah? And what they're gonna deal with it? A breach of the peace? They're gonna find something to slap on it, aren't they? Yeah? They're gonna find something for sure. So how can people keep saying, yeah, we're not standing for it, it's damn right out of order, we've got to kick it out, we've got third Football United's racism divide, you know? In fact, what we're gonna do, we're gonna grab one of them people from third one Friday, and then we kind of like chat it out live right on here, 93.2, yeah? So make a note of that. Stick it in your diary. It's going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to contact Ferd, and we'll get to grips, Yeah, somehow we'll deal with that. Okay. 6:15. Yeah, Friday 28th. Listen to Sweet and I'm Talking Sport. Getting into certain things. Okay. Still waiting for GCV on the road. You know how roadman stay. Yeah. Can't make time. Yeah. So just skimming over a few things and we'll get into debate when they arrive. Yeah? What time's that gonna be? Boy, could all be. I reckon they'll be probably in about 10 minutes or something, knowing that the show start at 6. Yeah. Euros. Kovacs. Yeah. I want you to listen to this name, Kovacs. Yeah. Now, for me, for a referee to dish out 18, yeah, you're not hearing that, 18 yellow cards, yeah? Just turn up, right? 18, 16, soon come back. Yeah, sorry for about that interruption. These soldiers, them just turn up. Do you know if there was a war, they'd finish it. The war would done. They'd be saying, yo, I've got my gun and ammunition here. And they'd be saying, you might as well just like pick up your medal because the war done. You won't want these guys on your side in a war, I'm telling you. Because would they show up? Nah, man, they wouldn't show up at all. Yeah, listen to Sweet Talking Sports, Friday the 28th, 93.2. FM, getting right into the groove right now. Good evening.
Evening.
Yo, guys, what's happening, man? So, yeah, just, the interruptions, yeah, just going to finish off this little piece. So, yeah, 18 yellow cards. Anybody thought that that game would have, well, you couldn't write that script. You'd have thought that the game would have got cancelled or something like that. That was including two reds, by the way, yeah? And then, like I said, we'll get into the discussion with Mr. Southgate. And the cups throwing. I wonder if they was having a tea party or something, or just like offering them a drink, because like Southgate saying that, do you know what? Yeah, understands the narrative. Yeah. Well, we'll be talking about how come England are failing, yeah, on the platform. Yeah. And they've got one of the best leagues in the world and are failing at international level. Is this a serious thing or what? G and CV is right here now. So LeBron James and his son Bromy, not sure if you're aware of this, but these guys could be making history in the NBA. Bronny James has been drafted to play for the Lakers. So he could line up side of his pops. What do you think to that?
Yeah, for me, right, that is good. That is good for me. That's good. That's it's going to show old and new. That's what it's going to show. And it's going to show that he's going to be there, I believe, on merit, not because of just because his dad is there. Because I've seen him play, and this guy is talented.
100%, yeah, back that up any day. You know, so I mean, it's never been done before in the whole of the NBA. And a little earlier, I was just on about how the drafts works. So it's like once from the draft, if a player's been picked, then, you know, that team can sign him, and he can't sign for any other team in the NBA. I'm not sure if your guys, CV's just said that he's seen him play, very talented young kid. Are you a basketball fan, G?
No, I've never really followed basketball, so I'm not, can't really give a big opinion on this. If he's been drafted on his own merit and not behind his dad, then that is a good thing. It is a good thing. I don't understand why he cannot sign for another team, but he is a good player by the sound.
Yeah, they're just saying that the reason that he can't sign, because LA Lakers have signed him. So I suppose it's like, equivalent over here. If you've signed for a football team, then you can't really sign for another team, basically. So
but he can, then after the contract's up, he can go somewhere else. That's all right. Just normal then, isn't it? Yeah, but he's been given a big break here in that sense, and it's a good incentive for the younger players coming up, isn't it? As long as they let him play his game and don't too judge him on what his father's stats were, then, yeah, good luck to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think he'll be all right on that. But I've never seen him play. I'll have a look into that when I go home, see if I can find it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
Yeah?
He's a talented guy. He has the skills, right? And that's why I said what I said first. He's there because of his own skills. That's what he's there for, not because of his dad. I'm not saying his dad the name might not help him out a bit, but he's there, I'm saying, because of his own skills, right? And I think if him and his dad do play, yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, that, right? You're seeing father and son, right, being, you know, showing that, yeah, look at us too.
Does his dad play for the same team?
Yeah,
his dad that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, this is the conversation. We're saying that the combination could be, his dad, yeah, Pops plays for the same team, so if his son, Bronny, lines up with his pops in a game, it'd be the first time in the history of the NBA that they've had a combination like that.
Father and son team.
Yeah. So
but you know it's going to happen then, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to happen.
It's got to happen. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be something good to see that really still in.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen to Sheffield Live, 93.2. I'm joined by CV, and G is here with me, okay? Another thing which I kind of like was getting into, the Copa America Cup. I don't know if your guys have seen any matches. I saw a little bit of JA the other night. It was a bit hard on the eyes, to be honest with you, but I was kind of falling asleep, not just because of the way JA was playing, but it was a late shift for me. But one of the things that I want to bring up, the USA Soccer Federation condemning online racist abuse. So we've got it in all sports, all around the globe, and in the Copa America also as well. So it was the USA lost 2-1 to Panama, and that was, I think that was Tuesday that happened. Thursday, sorry. 2-1, black players getting abused.
Oh, that's becoming a normal thing now in football, into even over here. I mean, look at the other week before the Euros actually started, when our newspapers printed pictures of Saka on the floor and making all these different racist comments and stuff, which did cause a bit of speaking before the matches even start. I mean, when it comes to black players, anything that always goes wrong, if one of them miss a penalty or something, then the abuse comes out.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day as well, for us, it's different. I mean, if, let's say, our soccer team, if Kane missed a penalty, we blacks don't come out and start saying anything racial towards it. It's just one of them things. It's a game. It's a sport. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose.
Don't you think, why don't you think that happens? Why don't you think, like, you know, black supporters and that don't, you know, sort of like have a go and try to balance it up? You know, I'll put it blunt like that, balance it up, because, you know, like you said, Saka misses or whatever, or Sancho, when they missed, there was on them. There was on them like peanut butter. So, you know.
So it's not
where do you draw the line?
To be fair, if we're talking about English, the English team, the England team, and the English fans, me as a football fan, and being a football fan for over 40 odd years, for me, there's a few more black supporters now, but there's not a lot, right? As I see it, right? And to be fair, the support is overwhelmingly a white support. So really, you're not going to get many black supporters jumping on the wagon and saying, oh, because Kane did actually miss a penalty. Not that long ago. Recently, he missed one. And there was no social media, nobody giving him any stick, nothing. I didn't see that, right? So really, you're not going to get that. You are not going to get what I call the ethnic minorities saying, oh, this and this Kane. No, you're not going to get that, right?
Do you just think it's just like a way how we kind of we are when we just don't do it? It's just like kind of some mindful kind of idiots.
Well, you I was going to say, I'm sorry, I was going to say something on that, because remember when we were growing up, our fathers and that, they were into cricket. They were into cricket hard.
It was.
And when it came to like West Indies playing England, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
Did you ever hear your father cursing when they lost? They said they might not played as good and everything, but there was no racism towards the English players and all. They might say they bitched them, my man holding, giving my bones and I'm clout or something. But there was no racism coming out towards them. And I think that's what it is with us. We've seen it, we've heard certain things, and we react the same. It's a game, it's a sport, it's supposed to be a fun thing. There's no reason to take it so personally. And I think that's what it is with a lot of things, to take it too personally. And then you say things that aren't necessary, really necessary. Just let's enjoy the game, enjoy whatever else, and it is what it is.
I mean, it's not new. It's on, you know, in terms of it being online, you know, obviously the monitoring that, they're aware of it because it spills out in the media. But, you know, an interesting thing is, And this is for the UK, by the way, even though we're talking about the Copa America Cup. Like, the UK, they're saying that it doesn't meet the threshold for a criminal offence, yeah? So what a beast man might say, he said, OK, we'll maybe report it as kind of like, you know, hate crime, yeah? A hate crime incident, right? But it's not a criminal offence, yeah? So, according to Crime and Disorder Act 1998, Section 66. So, what's the point in kind of like policing it? It's no crime. You know what I mean? What is it for? Is it for just for people's statistics or something? I think that's crazy, that, because that gives people a window to just go ahead and abuse all day long.
Yeah. So what you're saying, if you get caught being racist at a football team and all, that is what is going on.
Online. This is online. So let's just say that, you know, we set up an account and we decide to abuse England. Whoever, England, yeah. Players. Yeah. And, you know, we're going public. We're saying, yeah, this is my account and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Then you could probably just quote saying, you know, if a beast man comes to your door and that, you could say, well, just remove, because it's not a crime. What are you here for? Do you know what I mean?
Well, then it's never going to stop then, is it?
Exactly. So sometimes when I think about these organisations, I'm not saying that they're doing nothing at all, but maybe they should be trying to create a law where this can be policed properly and people can be brought to task. I don't know how long this kind of like window's been open for, but surely it spills into free speech that people should be allowed to express themselves. And I get that. But should online racism be criminalised into a criminal offence?
Yes. It's no difference, like I was hearing you before when you were saying, if you went out on the streets and you started saying that is freedom of speech, anybody can go out there and say it, but there has to be a limit.
100%.
When you start making it personal now, and when you're getting racist, no matter who it is, what culture it is, you're getting personal now. There has to be a line. From we were youths growing up in our English team, I'm going back to Lineker, Wright and all them people, racism was about the effort, and the FIFA knew about it. What have they ever done about it? If you've got two teams playing two different countries playing, and one of them countries is known for argument's sake, let's say Hungary against England, and the Hungarians are now being racist, and they've done it a few times, and it's been on the media, it's been this. How can you stop that? Stop the supporters from coming in, let them miss a few games. That might start changing things. But nothing has never, ever been done. So if nothing's been done, you want to carry on, aren't you? It's an open window.
100%. So is it... Are the authorities just like sort of making a token gesture then, because the guy from the Copa America is just saying that it's hateful, it's discriminatory behaviour, these actions are unacceptable, knowing that you can't do jack about it? Is it just token gesture? Is it just saying it just to say, do you know what I mean? I don't believe in it, so, you know, it's horrible.
Words is words. That's it. Words is words. Talk is talk.
Yeah, it makes you think.
Yeah, to be fair, I think really he has to be seen to be saying something.
You have to do something.
He can't just not say anything. He has to be seen to be saying something. Then it looks like, yeah, they're taking action. They're responding. But their response is nothing, really. Their response, I mean, we've been responding for the past... 40 odd years we've been responding. That's what we've been doing. We've been responding. And what's happened? Nothing's really changed, right? The only thing that's changed is that now I can hide myself behind a keyboard. I don't have to physically be in front of you to abuse you, to call you the N-word, or to say, oh, send them back, or we don't want, there's no black in Union Jack and all this kind of stuff. We can do all that now without anybody knowing who we are. And then if we get caught, if somebody they do find us, we just come offline and come back on again as somebody completely different.
That's what happens. It's an ongoing situation, ongoing problem that, you know, according to the law, they're just going to carry on. So these organisations will kind of like stick out their chest and say, do you know what I mean? We condemn that, like, you know, kick it out or whatever. And I'm not having a go at them, but, you know, it's like it needs to go to the next level. You know what I mean? They need to be challenging these hate crime incidents and turn them into criminal acts, and maybe stick something in Downing Street and get them something for do. You know what I mean? Instead of like running party and joke, you know what I mean? So, yeah, just kind of like getting things off our chest. It's Sweet Talking Sport on Friday the 28th, 93.2 FM. Euros, you know, this show can't go out without mentioning the Euros. I know there might be some listeners out there sick of football again and thinking, boy, it's the same old thing, but it's what's out there. It's in the public domain. I want to chat about a referee called Kovacs, yeah? You're going to remember his name because he dashed out 18 cards, including two red ones recently. Do you know, something tells me that this ref, he thought, do you know what, I'm going to get my name out there and people are going to remember me. You know, well, you are going to get remembered, whether it's for the right thing or not. But 18 cards, what do you think about that, guys?
I take it this has been in a few games that he's refereed. If the cards were warranted, actually warranted, and he stood up and gave the cards, fair play to him.
18 cards in one game, that's a lot, man.
If it's in one game, then he's got to justify that. But
I mean, one time I was at that game at Bramall Lane, Battle of Bramall Lane, they called it, West Brom. And I think Warnock pulled a fast one there because if you've kind of like got, I think it's seven players, then the game gets dashed. And I think that was Warnock's way around that. I was actually at that game. I went there with my boys as well. So 18 cards in one game, that's alarming. That's very alarming for me. That's worrying.
I've never heard that kind of thing.
What game was that again?
That was the game, 18 cards. Let me see now. It was recent. It was last Tuesday, I think that one was, actually. I know he kind of made history.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing it, but I just can't remember the two teams what were involved.
I can't say that. I must have missed that match.
And for me, 18 cards.
It's a lot.
Cards. That's a lot of cards. That are we saying then this game must have been well out of order? You'd got men flying in and whatever. Because I can't really say because I can't remember watching the game. I just remember it coming up. So to be giving out 18 cards, wow.
That's why I was saying, was it justifiable? Did these players actually deserve the 18 the cards? And he actually stood up in it? Because you've seen games where the referees don't give out things and stuff like that. If he can justify it because the players deserved it, if it's 18, it's 18. That shows you what the players are like, then, isn't it? I mean, one of my biggest pet hate in football is when a man gets touched and he's rolling about on the floor.
Yeah, that.
For that alone, I'm giving you a card.
Yeah, that happens.
Okay, so the game was Turkey or Turkey, yeah. Got them change up them name, yeah. And then against the Czechs, yeah. Czechia. So that was the 1-1 draw. So yeah, the referees. I mean, them cards aren't big anyway. So is right. It must have been small to get everybody's name and what. Do you know what? I'd love to see that report after that game. I'd love to see that report because, you know, it's. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch the game myself. I saw the kind of highlights and stuff. But I think it must have made it a little bit hard on the eyes as well watching that because it's going to be stop, start, stop, start, all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? And you probably must feel sorry for the punters, really. You know what I mean? Paying a dollar in that and going to watch the game and all of a sudden the referee's getting happy. You know what I mean? Getting happy and, you know, pulling that out and pulling this out, yeah? Wow, 18 cards in one game. That's a Euro record. And Roberto Rossetti, I'm going to say that word again because I like that, Roberto Rossetti, yeah?
Kind of roll off your tongue, isn't it? Roberto Rossetti.
Yeah, he's the referee, the director for the referees out there. And he's saying that the referees are more alert of the tactical fouls, Well, you can't get more alert than that. Yeah, Sweet Talking Sport Friday, the 28th. I've got CV and G here. Time is 18:40. I want to sort of like go into the throwing cups business with England.
Yeah, I saw that the other night. Yeah, that's another thing now. Yeah, where's that come from?
Is it to be expected? England fans, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, yeah, you've got a right to be peeved off. You've got a right to vent, you know, whether it's online racial abuse. Yeah, it's like the law saying, yeah, you can deal with it. So have the fans got a right to throw the cups at Southgate?
No.
You know?
Let's take the Americans, yeah? When Americans are going to a football game, their American football or a baseball game or whatever, it's like an outing for them. These people go out, they do the barbecues, they do whatever, everybody has a laugh and a joke, they go into the stadium, thousands of them, more than what our football stadiums own. There's no hatred going on, you don't see none of that hatred going on, do you? Win or lose. But when it comes to football, I don't know what it is with the football fans. Why you have to express your feelings like that? If you vex, you vex. I get that. You can use your mouth and shout. But why do you have to go to these distances?
I'm just thinking what you said about we don't see it. We might not necessarily be aware of it. Because
true.
The authorities report what they want to report. And we know that they fudge up the figures whenever they want. Do you know what I mean? So, but I hear what you're saying. And I'm not aware of it. It's something that I will kind of look into. And I'll get back to your folks out there. But, you know, was it interesting what Southgate said? Yeah. He's saying that the fans are creating an unusual environment. Yeah. Right. Unusual environment.
That unusual environment, basically, is what he's saying is that they are voicing their frustrations basically in the wrong way. He's prepared to put up with them voicing their frustrations, maybe booing. But to start throwing the cups, he sees that as like, nah, you've just kind of overstepped the mark a little bit here.
I'm gonna play. This is what Southgate's saying.
The most important thing here is that the supporters stay with the team. I understand the sort of narrative towards me, and you know that's better for the team than it being towards them. But it is creating an unusual environment to operate in. I've not seen any other team qualify and receive similar. So I understand it. I'm not going to back away from it.
So Mr. Southgate saying that it's a tough environment to operate in. Well, you're not a smooth operator, Mr. Southgate, yeah? So you can kind of like regress with that one, okay? Your job is to get the best out of these players. And they are good players out there. It's kind of like my opinion that I wouldn't say that we've got world beaters out there, world-class players. But that's just my opinion. Somebody might disagree. Yeah, well, not somebody, but loads of thousands of people will probably disagree with me at that time. But like, yeah, Southgate's job, get the best out of the players. These players are supposed to be the best in the country, but they still can't get it right. What the hell's going on?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen a couple of the England matches and all right, they've not played to the full potential. But for me, they're through. At the end of the day, they've got through and we should be getting behind that, really, and trying to big them up, to lift them up, to make them maybe produce a better game. But it's like saying we expect our players to go in and give us a terrific game all the time. Because, yeah, it has been a bit lapsy-daisy. I've been sat in my armchair and I've cursed a bit. I don't understand why we've been falling back into our own half and staying there. I don't understand why Kane has even had to come all the way back when he should be up at front. So when we have got control of the ball, there's nobody up front to be passing the ball to and stuff. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
I think for me, yeah, playing players out of position.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Trippier, Yeah. Good pro.
Yeah.
Operating on the left-hand on the side. Left. Yeah. Now, and the sort of like a commentator made a really good point about it, because we didn't see Trippier once go down the left-hand side and attack somebody, take the ball, take the game to them. He got the ball, ran with it, cut back, played inside.
Mm.
Or he did like an overlap kind of like run, looking for a 1-2. Now, for me, if I was on the opposition, on the coaching, or, you know, the manager of the national side, I'd be looking at that and I'd be saying, tack him, left-hand side, all day long. You know what I mean? Because he's uncomfortable down there. So you're telling me now, right? All right, you've got Luke Shaw. They've took him and he's broke up. So when's he going to get an appearance? When's Luke Shaw going to get an appearance? They've took a player who's not even 100%.
Exactly.
Now, if it was just a little niggle and he's going to get over it in a few days, fair enough. That's before the tournament starts. So for me, that's a wrong business.
Listen,
yeah? Shocking.
You want to ring that bell 3 and 4 times. Because for me, Luke Shaw hasn't made an appearance for Manchester United for a while.
Wow. That says it all, innit?
He hasn't made an appearance for Manchester United for a while. Then you're taking him because it seems like he's the only left back they've got in England, right? Which is a joke. It's a joke. There is a lot of English Premier League players there, right? You got Chilwell, who plays for Chelsea.
Yeah, Chilwell. Yeah.
Yeah, and took him. Why they took him? Because he's injured. But yet you're taking an injured man, right? You haven't took Maguire. Why? Because he's injured. He's not getting in the Man United side that often.
Okay.
Is Luke Shaw getting in the Man United side often? No, he's not, right? So why have they took him? He's just warming up a seat for somebody, really. That's what he's doing. He's warming up a seat for somebody. He's not done anything. What has he done? He hasn't done anything.
I mean, it's totally unbalanced as well. I mean, you've got you've got Trent, who kind of, you know, generally plays his club football at right back. Yeah, he comes into midfield as well, and he can do that for Liverpool because that's how they set up. Mm. But like national level,
it's different.
Yeah, it's totally different. And brought Trent off twice.
Yeah.
Did you see his body language when they brought him off? He was like, why? It was almost like embarrassment. And then even further that, to rubber stamp that, you've got Southgate saying it's an experiment. Okay, this is the Euros finals. Right. And you're experimenting. Yeah. There's no time to experiment in a final.
The experiment comes before that.
Your time for Euros should have been when you were playing the friendlies.
Exactly. And right, that's why you're getting cups. That's why you're getting, you know, chimps teacups dashed upon you.
That's right. Because
do you think Southgate for just choosing these guys because of who they are and who they play for, instead of looking at the wild of the field?
Yeah.
There's plenty of players like you guys are saying that could have filled these positions. So why aren't you giving them guys a chance instead of taking...
Definitely, 100%. Because
that don't make sense.
He knows that these players... They know the England set up, right? And is comfortable with them. Now, you've got players what can stretch teams and put them under pressure. As they're saying that defenders don't like attackers running at them. Now, Kane is not going to drive at a defender.
No.
Full pelt.
No.
But you've got Tony.
Yep.
Yeah? If he's not in the betting shop, Ivan Tony will be in there. Yeah. And also Ollie Watkins.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when Watkins come on the other day, yeah.
You're on fire, won't he?
Yeah. 100%. He was giving it all. He left it out there on the pitch. And within, how long was he on for? 8 minutes, 10, 20, 15 or something like that. But he made behind. A difference, didn't it?
He made a difference.
Yeah, he made a difference.
He got behind their back four, right?
Mm.
Which Kane didn't. Kane didn't. All right, people can scream and say, who are these people on here talking? Because he scored. He did score. That's his job, to score. But we don't really, he hasn't really done that much, to be fair. I'm sure if you played Watkins, right, he'd produce a lot more than Kane, right?
Yeah, in the short space of time it was on.
In that short space of time, yeah. What I saw
I don't even want to get into it too much, really, because especially when it comes to my man, Phil Foden, right? Because Phil Foden, I've been listening to rival other talks, shows, and, oh, Phil Foden's not doing it. Phil Foden's this, Phil Foden's that. Now, before there was a ball even kicked in the Euros, I said before, if they play Phil Foden on the left-hand side, you are not going to get anything from him. Simple reason, because that's not where he plays for us. For City, he's a number ten for City, right? He's in the middle, right? He's creating, he scores goals. You stick him out on the left, which is what they've done, right? He's not done anything.
Why can't South get make these bold decisions then? Well, what's it all about?
Sometimes I think Mr. Southgate's too loyal and he's too stubborn.
It's almost like he's trying to please every player. I can squeeze him in. Okay, we know that Foden plays, like you said, number 10, but I can put him out wide. I mean, he could have played Gordon there.
Because
he's got some pace as well,
And I believe Gordon would be more effective.
Yes.
He'd be more effective. What for me, Southgate, he has to have the balls to drop players. If they're not doing it, he has to have the courage to drop players. Now, in the last couple of games, there may be other people out there this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and that's fair enough, that's their opinion. But at some point, I've watched Jude Bellingham, and he wasn't on it. The first game, when I think, is it Serbia that they played? And he scored? Yes. Look good.
Do you think he's a little bit pissed off in that? You know what I mean? And things not going, not just going his way, but England's way as a whole, it's disjointed. And that must kind of like mess up your mind mentally.
Well, I don't know, but what I'm saying is, if he's not playing that well, right, drop him. Put somebody else on there who's going to do something, right? They've got talented players. Eze, he had what, 20 minutes to give him, right? That guy's ripping it up for Palace, ripping it up, right? He gets about 20 minutes, right? You've got other talented players that he's got there. And he's not prepared to. He's not prepared to say, "Well, right, yeah, you're not playing well at the moment. Right, we're gonna put this person in." Nah, for me, Southgate is just He's just a waste of time and energy.
I mean, at the end of the day, is it something like 22 players you take to these tournaments with you, or something?
I think it's a bit more.
So there's enough players you've got out there to swap and change and see what's going on. So it's easy enough for him to do. If a man's on the pitch and he's been on there for 20 minutes and he's not producing anything, after half time, whatever, put somebody else in. But you got to, like you just said, CV, he's got to start stepping up and saying, this is not working, let's take him off, let's put another player in that position.
I think that's half of it, because, you know, they're like saying, he's saying, you know, he can understand and, you know, that fans are frustrated and stuff like that. And he's literally saying, you can blame me for that. But, like, you know, you've got all these kind of like pundits and that saying, you know, well, surely, you know, questioning Southgate now. And saying, you know, like either Gordon there and Foden in the middle, or have two number 10s, like whether it's a Foden and Bellingham there as well. So it's almost like the footballing nation can literally pick a side apart from the head coach. You know, that's kind of like, nah. I mean, for me, I find England kind of really hard to watch.
I agree with that.
Very, very hard. Hard to watch.
I agree with that. I think before the ball's even kicked, it becomes really hyped anyway, because straight away Euros come and England are already favourites, aren't they? They're talking about them being favourites, right? Them and France. And with all due respect, I can see where you might talk about France being favourites. I can see you talking about Italy being up there. I can see you talking about Germany being up there. But I don't see how you can put England in that same bracket. Because, like I said, in every tournament, straight away, we bring out the 1966, right? That's what they bring out. And with all due respect, they've not won anything. These other countries, what I've just mentioned, Italy, Germany, France, Spain, Portugal, all these countries have won something. England haven't won anything, right? But yet they're favourites. It's coming home.
It's always coming home, isn't it?
With all due respect, it has come home. It's come home. But it come home by the England Lionesses. That's when it come home. That's when it came home.
And that's the truth, isn't it, really?
Right? Because I don't see England doing anything. I really don't see them doing anything. But I stand to be corrected if they do. I will hold my hand up high and say, well, yes, what I said on the radio, it was a load of nonsense. But I can't see anything from them at all.
Well, I mean, can you see any kind of positives? Just going into the last few minutes here very quickly. Can you see any positives from England so far?
Positives? Well, I'm having to scratch my head here. Positives?
Well, I mean, they're unbeaten. They're top of the group. They're playing rubbish, but they're unbeaten and top of the group.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the last 16. Those are positives.
Yeah.
I think those positives you want.
That's what Kyle said. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, what if they keep on just doing enough to beat another team, but they keep on going? What we're going to say then? I don't know who they're playing in the first 16, whatever else.
No, they've got Slovakia. Is it Slovakia?
So we're actually. So we're expected to win that game, aren't we? We'd be expected to win that game with ease, wouldn't we?
With all disrespect, G, they were expected to win Serbia.
Exactly.
They were expected to beat Denmark. They're expected to be. Who did they play last one?
Is that just the media as well, just saying that? Yeah, they're just bigging them up and expecting. I mean, no game is just won on paper. No. And you know what you heard Kane said. Oh, they made his work. It was very hard. It was a tough game. You know what I mean? So, you know, but yet the media saying, well, he should get a victory there. But yet you've got Kane, top of his game, saying tough game. You know what I mean? So what does that say for England then, really? You know what I mean?
I mean, for me, football is football. What happens on the day happens. I mean, look at the match the other night between Croatia and Italy, was it? When they were 1-0 up or something. It was right until the last seconds.
Yes, I agree. I saw that.
Right up until the last seconds, and my man scores a beautiful goal in top corner, whatever else.
Yeah. Mm.
Nobody didn't expect Italy to be struggling like that, did they?
Nobody expected, to be fair, nobody expected Georgia to beat Portugal, really.
Even that, 2-0.
2-0, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, finishing lines, guys. Yeah?
Okay.
Is England going to get through to the next round?
Yeah, they will. They will.
Knockout.
That's
where I'm going.
Knockout.
Are you saying they're getting knocked out? Right, okay. I'm saying, from what I've seen, from what I've seen in them, they'll be hard pressed to get through.
Yeah, I'm kicks in. I think they'll scrape through. It has to be a better performance, and they have to play with the fluid.